This is the Breaker.News podcast for April 29th, 2018. Welcome. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, regular features such as the Is It Just Me commentary, Around the Rim, headlines from around the Pacific Rim, Cascadia Calling, headlines from around the Pacific Northwest, The Big Deal feature, more on the Facebook Cambridge Analytica scandal, the directors of Aggregate IQ broke their silence at a House of Commons committee, Zachary Massingham and Jeff Sylvester faced a rough ride in Ottawa. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or did the term Toronto the Good take on an urgent new meaning last week? 10 innocent people were killed, and 16 others seriously injured, while they were walking on a sidewalk on a sunny day. A troubled individual got behind the wheel of a rental van and decided that this was a solution to his deep problems. May the perpetrator never be allowed to walk on a sidewalk again. But the goodness of Toronto came to help, to do what it could to minimize the bad and the ugly. The police, fire, ambulance, and hospital staff, who the public relies on when such a tragedy happens. For some of them, it was the most difficult day of their careers, if not their lives. So think of the survivors, the victims, and their loved ones. Think of those who came to the rescue. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the Korea Times, Lee Min-hyung reports, North Korean media welcomes summit. Expectations were that North Korea would broadcast live the historic meeting between Moon and Kim as the summit made headlines in the regime's propaganda media outlets. However, the North Korean Central Television, state-owned broadcaster, did not air a live broadcast of the event. The Rodong Sinmun, the official newspaper of the regime, also welcomed Kim's first-ever inter-Korean summit. Quote, "The summit has been arranged under Kim's strong determination for unification," end quote, the newspaper said in a front-page article. But the article focused mostly on praising Kim for showing leadership in meeting with Moon. Seoul and Pyongyang have so far held three summits. The two previous ones were held in Pyongyang in 2000 and 2007. During those two summits, the Rodong Sinmun did not report on them on the same date. The Chosim Sinbo, a pro-North Korean newspaper based in Japan, also released articles on the summit and Kim's upcoming meeting with United States President Donald Trump. Quote, "The inter-Korean summit is momentum to write a new history," end quote, said the newspaper. In the Honolulu Star-Advertiser, Allison Schaefer's reports, Hawaii tourism hurtling toward 10 million arrivals benchmark this year. The state's rampaging visitor industry could top 10 million this year. March, not typically a peak month for tourist arrivals, set the record for the most visitors in a single month at almost 904,000. March beat the previous record of almost 892,000 set in July. If Hawaii can do that in March, exceeding 10 million visitors this year seems well within reach. Last year, a record 9.38 million visitors came to Hawaii. What's driving the growth is added airline seats, tourism executives say, and Southwest Airlines' statement Thursday that it hopes to start service to the islands later this year did nothing to alter that view. In the Otago Daily Times in New Zealand, covered stadium for Christchurch. After calls for a stadium like Dunedin's, the government has announced Christchurch will get a covered one large enough to host test matches and entertainment events. A business case for the new stadium has been fast-tracked. The Crusaders and other sports teams have been using the upgraded Rugby League Park since 2011's earthquake damaged Lancaster Park beyond repair. There have been growing calls for a larger weatherproof stadium, which can host All Blacks matches but also host large concerts, similar to Dunedin's stadium. The new stadium is expected to cost about $500 million, and the council has already committed to paying half of that amount. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. In the Seattle Times, Hal Burton reports, solar panels on farmland? In central Washington, that stirs a fight. Governor Jay Inslee will decide whether Washington's first solar farm should go on cropland in Kittitas County. The plan to convert prime agricultural acreage to wide expanses of solar panels is getting pushback. As proposed by Seattle-based Tuso Energy, the panels would spread across more than 80 of the Brunson family's 1,000 acres and another 120 acres owned by three other Ellensburg area landowners. If approved, this would be one of the first solar farms to come online in Washington, and for some, an unwelcome precedent for turning cropland over to solar energy production. The solar panels would sit on less than 0.5% of the 180,000 farm acres in the county, but opponents worry that solar energy farms will replace farms for crops and livestock. In the Similkameen Spotlight, Andrea Demir reports, BC couple survives wildfire, but home now threatened by mudslide. Princeton couple's home 40 feet from mudslide that took out three outbuildings. Leslie Rowlett and her partner Glenn Pennington moved in 2015 from North Vancouver to Princeton. Last summer, the couple was evacuated from their home along Highway 5A for 15 days while a wildfire burned around their property. Then, last Tuesday, and possibly as a result of the efforts of fire crews to break that out-of-control blaze, approximately 1 kilometer of debris crashed down on the mountain, destroying three of their outbuildings and creating a waterfall in their backyard. Now, along with other residents living below Allison Creek, the pair is watching water levels anxiously and preparing as best they can for potential flooding. In the Aldergrove Star, missing Justin Bieber returns to BC Park staff. Just when they were about to give up hope, Fraser Valley Regional District Park staff received the call they have been waiting for. Justin Bieber, that's Beaver, has been found. The 20-pound taxidermy beaver had gone missing last week during an interpretive program conducted at the Cheam Lake Wetlands. Like all good stories, the case of the missing beaver has a delightful plot twist. A couple on Vancouver Island heard about Justin's disappearance and donated their stuffed beaver, nicknamed Sydney, in honor of his hometown. Also, this week in The Breaker, we reported the CEO and VP of casinos at BC Lottery Corporation have Attorney General David Eby's vote of confidence, despite the casino money laundering scandal. The expert review by Peter German may not be released until the end of May. Yihao Wang, the 23-year-old who lives in a $6.3 million British properties mansion and drives a $300,000 Ferrari, finally pleaded guilty to driving that supercar 210 kilometers an hour over the Lionsgate Bridge. He left North Vancouver Provincial Court wearing a black baseball cap, sunglasses, and surgical mask. And the Passenger Transportation Branch ordered 14 drivers to stop vehicle-for-hire services through a Richmond app. Not one was fined. Read those stories and more in the Breaker.News. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. The men behind the Victoria company that is involved in the Cambridge Analytica Facebook scandal finally broke their silence. Zach Massingham and Jeff Sylvester, co-founders of Aggregate IQ, or AIQ, testified before the House of Commons Standing Committee on Access to Information, Privacy, and Ethics on April 24th. AIQ was involved in three BC Liberal riding campaigns last year and the failed Todd Stone leadership campaign this year. For 2 hours, Massingham and Sylvester were grilled by Liberal, Conservative, and NDP committee members in Ottawa. Some of them accused Massingham and Sylvester of being less than forthcoming about their business, its finances, and the roles it played in election campaigns in the US, UK, Africa, and Caribbean. This, almost a month after whistleblower Christopher Wiley, who also hails from Victoria, testified before a similar committee in London, England. In late March, Wiley called AIQ a franchise of Cambridge Analytica that routinely broke laws. In their opening statements, Massingham and then Sylvester tried to set the record straight about AIQ.
Given some of the testimony you have heard and some of what has been reported in the media, we thought it would be important to clarify a few things. We are not, nor have we ever been, a department or subsidiary of SCL or Cambridge Analytica. We are and have always been 100% Canadian-owned and operated. There were two people responsible for founding the company, and those same two people are responsible for the operations of that company, myself and Jeff Sylvester.
We are not a big data company. We are not a data analytics company. We do not harvest or otherwise illegally obtain data. We never share information from one client to another. And we are not a practitioner of the so-called digital dark arts. As Zach said, we do online advertising, make websites and software for our clients.
Charlie Angus, an NDP member from Timmins, James Bay, challenged them to be transparent because their testimony was shielded from civil action.
Christopher Wiley also testified that you guys have been very careful about being technically precise, but that you were, quote, using weasel words. Would that be correct?
I don't believe so, no.
No, you wouldn't. I guess what I'm wondering here is that everyone else must be involved in an amazing conspiracy against you, Mr. Massingham. They're accusing you of being a part of Cambridge Analytica, which you said you didn't know existed until during the Nigeria campaign. Mr. Wiley said he helped set you up, which you said isn't true. SCL Canada lists you as their head of Canada services, which you say is not true. You had a phone that went directly to you. So why is everybody against you, Mr. Massingham?
I'm not sure. I can only speak to the work that we do at Agri.IQ and that what Jeff and I have done together.
I guess because that takes me back to the question of the Brexit campaign, which the question is this a spectacular success story of, again, this unknown company above an optometrist shop in Victoria that got all those campaigns, all that money, coordinated it. They said that you were set up as a proxy money laundering campaign. Is that true, Mr. Massingham?
No.
You know, the great thing about being in Parliament, when you speak at our committee, it's parliamentary privilege. You can't be sued for what you say, Mr. Massingham. They can't use it against you in court. So I'm not sure why you expect us to believe that all these people are making stuff up about you when you could just explain to us why you were set up with SCL and what your direct role is with SCL and Cambridge Analytica, because the idea that this is all a series of isolated companies that had nothing to do with each other, you didn't know each other, you just happened to be working on all the same projects, and you are listed as SCL Canada. Why don't you just tell us what you're covering up for SCL Canada, Mr. Massingham? Why are you taking the fall for these guys?
We're not taking the fall.
Mr. Massingham
for anyone
is listed. You're not listed as the head of SCL Canada. Mr. Massingham is. I want to know how that happens.
Mr. Angus, I can't speak to what marketing materials they've put out or what they do with my contact information, but I can tell you we are not a part of SCL or Cambridge Analytica.
Really? Okay.
Late in the committee meeting, it was Liberal Nathaniel Erskine-Smith's turn. The MP for Beaches East York had just received information that contradicted Massingham and Sylvester's earlier claims that they were cooperating with the British Information Commissioner's investigation.
So after my first round of questioning, I received a note from the chair of the UK Digital and Culture Committee, Damian Collins. He's spoken after my questions to the UK Information Commissioner, and she's indicated that AIQ has refused to answer her specific questions relating to data usage during the referendum campaign, and that the UK Information Commissioner is considering taking further legal measures to secure the information that she needs. So in this round of questioning, I would ask her a little bit more honesty.
Liberal Frank Bayliss from Pierrefonds Dollard accused the duo of being dishonest.
My colleague Mr. Angus has pointed out time and time again where everybody else is wrong, and AIQ is right, Mr. Sylvester and Mr. Massingham, you've told us how everybody's got it incorrect. And now here we get real time Well, you've told us, point blank, you received two letters, you answered them. We're told by the privacy, their information commissioner, you refused to answer them to the point that they're looking to take legal action against you. Explain this to me. Who's not right? Her or you?
I don't think the two pieces of information are opposed. If she's not happy with the answers we provided, then
she does not say that. I'll read it again. AIQ refused to answer her specific questions. She doesn't say she's not happy. She said you refused. You said you answered them. Who's not correct here? Who's not telling us the truth? Now, keep in mind, as Mr. Angus just pointed out, everybody else has not been telling the truth, as you refuted. In this case here, is she not telling us the truth?
I can only speak for what we've done. And she sent us the letter on the 17th of May, and we responded. She sent us a letter again on the 30th of January, and we've responded.
Nothing here seems out of order to you. Everything you've done is correct.
No, I've said not everything.
Everything you've told us is correct.
Everything I've told you is true.
You have purposely misled us, Mr. Sylvester.
No.
You have just purposely misled us to the point that someone would contact us during your questioning and say you refused. You did not say you refused. She says you refused.
We answered the questions as best that we could, and that's all we can do. At each time we've responded.
That's what a copy of this information that you said. Back.
The letters
copy
that we provided?
Both letters, yes.
Well, it's part of an active investigation. I don't know if I can
What part will you not provide us? Why not?
Well, I'll have to check with the Information Commissioner's Office.
What Information Commissioner's Office?
The UK Information Commissioner's Office.
The UK Commissioner's Office. You need to check with her if you can provide us the information that you didn't give her.
Well, it's part of their app. No, we've answered the questions. If they have more questions, we'll happily answer them.
The NDP's Charlie Angus had one more round of questions before Committee Chair Bob Zimmer, a Conservative from Northern British Columbia. In his closing statement, Zimmer delivered a blunt, parting message for both Massingham and Sylvester.
You should not be involved in any way in elections because of your total disrespect that we see at our committee here. You know, we may seem like a quaint little operation, but we represent the people of Canada. And Mr. Massingham, when we asked direct questions about how you could have had a phone directed to you as the head of SCL Canada, and you said you weren't aware of that, that just beggars belief. I can't see how anybody give you a £625,000 campaign, let alone a £5 million campaign, if you didn't even know that you had a phone listing you as the head of another company. Don't you have anything to tell us, Mr. Massingham?
Thank you, Mr. Angus. And we're at the end of our questions. I have one question for you left outstanding, I believe. Were you ever part of or involved in coordinating or organizing multiple clients' ads for the same or similar campaigns?
Sorry, were we involved in coordinating between the clients or just that we worked with the clients?
That you were, I'll state it again just so it's clear. Were you ever a part of or involved in coordinating or organizing multiple clients' ads for the same or similar campaign? Yes or no?
No, I don't believe so.
Thank you. I just would say, as the chair of this committee, I think we're all saying the same thing, and we're all concerned. Something doesn't smell right here. And I just would challenge the AIQ to do the right thing. Anyway, that's the end of our testimony today, and I'd like to thank everybody for your questions and thank you for appearing today.
That was the April 24th testimony of Aggregate IQ co-founders Zach Massingham and Jeff Sylvester to the Standing Committee on Access to Information, Privacy, and Ethics. Audio courtesy of the House of Commons. For more information, see thebreaker.news. Every week, we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to a deserving person or organization that has made a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to South Korea's President Moon Jae-in and North Korea's dictator Kim Jong-un. Not for who they are, because a smile on the face of a dictator doesn't change the fact that he's still a dictator, but for what they did this week. Smiles, handshakes, photos, and chatting on the demilitarized zone. They say they want a peace treaty between the two Koreas. Would this have happened without the PyeongChang Winter Olympics just a few months ago? People around the Pacific Rim can enjoy some relief. There will be no North Korean missiles flying through the skies for the time being, and maybe never again. Nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send us an email to bob@thebreaker.news. That's it for the Breaker.news podcast for April 29th, 2018. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know, on April 29th, 1953, Los Angeles TV viewers saw 3D at home for the first time when ABC's Space Patrol aired on KECA-TV? Now you know. Send your feedback, send your story ideas. The email address is bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.